Brother Bob and his wife Dee here with us tonight. And if you want to find out anything in the Word of God, just go to the first place he mentioned it, and you'll find out about everything you need to know. So that's where we're going tonight, in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Church is prospering and doing really good in these days. And the disciples are preaching the Word of God. People are getting saved in great numbers. Satan doesn't like it. Religion sure didn't like it and tried to hinder it. Not much has changed today. And in verse 1 of chapter 6, Scripture says, "And in those days," we'll speak to you now concerning the thought, those days similar to these days. In those days, which are very similar to these days. In the preceding chapter, we're told, invited to go back a little bit, because in those days, what's happening in those days? Well, as we go back a little bit, Satan is at work through religion trying to tear down, destroy the things of God. God is increasing. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. In fact, in the previous chapter, it was told that Peter had so much God on him, he was instilled with the Holy Ghost so much that people were, even if they would get the shadow of Peter passing by, they would be healed. Religion sure didn't like that. And people were coming from other villages to Jerusalem. Oh, you get Jesus around, the power of God around, people will come. And the more people that came, the more religion hated it. So the chief priest, it kind of reminds me what's going on in our nation today. You know, you got the chief, and then it even mentions the Senate in here. Not the same Senate, of course, but hey, we got troubles. In those days and these days, a lot going on that's not right. Trying to hinder, tear down, destroy, cast fear in the hearts of believers. And so they even went and had the disciples arrested and put in prison. "We will stop this ministering about Jesus once and for all. Can't do any harm now. They're in prison." However, the Holy Ghost sends an angel and goes and lets those boys out. Must have been, it was a miracle that he did that, but the prison guards apparently didn't even know what was going on. They didn't even know they were gone. Next morning, chief priest, Sadducees, the officers in the Senate came, and they were going to try those boys, and no telling what they were going to do with them. They had already beheaded James. And they went, and they couldn't find him. Much turmoil started. "Where are all these fellows at?" And the guard says, "We don't know. We don't know what happened to them. Can't give you an account." Somebody came and says, "We found them." I bet you couldn't guess where they found them. You got it. House of God. Anything's worth anything is going to be centered there. So the Holy Ghost said, "You go back up to the temple." It's early in the morning. They were up teaching in the name of Jesus. So they were arrested once again, brought before the scribes and the officers, the Senate. And they said, "Now, we're going to beat you real good. And we're going to put straps on you. You won't forget it." And they were going to do them much harm. But it was told them that you better leave it alone. Or would the world would understand that today, what God's for? If God be for you, who's going to be against you? It seems as though the world would learn that, and they will. And so there was one that stood up and said, "Hey, don't you remember what's happened in the past?" They couldn't know the past. There was one that rose up, and he got about 400 and something followers, and it was all about him. And if it's all about you, you can guess what happened. Nothing. It came to naught. And then there was another fellow rose up and had this crowd with him, but it perished. So if it was of man, if these disciples are of men, it will come to naught. But if it's of God, you better not mess with it. So they beat him once again and says, "You're free to go, except you're not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus." Well, you can imagine what they did the last couple of verses in chapter 5. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, the one they were forbidden to preach about. Hey, but there's nothing else to preach about that's worth anything. It's all about Jesus. Beautiful song we just heard, the lovely name of Jesus. Which brings us to chapter 6, because some other problems arose. You have learned something in my pilgrimage upon earth, and you've learned it too. We just might as well say it. If you've got people, you've probably got problems. Some sort of problem is going to creep in just because we're people. Not because they didn't love one another. It wasn't because they didn't love God. But the real problem was they loved themselves more than God. So there was trouble. It wasn't going to bother because there's a solution to everything. And it will help with that hurting. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, apostle out of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Just some simple things, some observations about what's going on in those days, and it should be going on today to solve the same sort of problems, because we're still people, we still got problems. Remember now, in previous chapters, they had great things in common, and they were bringing what God had increased them with to the house of God. It was that they trusted God to do more with their possessions than they themselves. They were giving their whole selves to God. And as a result, then if you give yourself to God, he's obligated to take care of you. And he will. The problem we've got in America and in the world today is people won't give themselves to God. But these people had. But now there's some selfishness and greed coming in. So we see the servant is needed, because there are certain people that can't help themselves. They're with us and they have been neglected. It seems as though one group is all about them and other groups are about themselves, and they're not looking after the common cause. And that's people for you. Me, my four, and no more. Selfishness, greed. But God has a solution for it. So he said that we need some servants here. And these servants are going to take care of this business, this need for this particular church. Now, God has different churches in different locations, and every church has different needs. Every church is comprised of different people. And in those different needs, there's one common cause. Put yourselves in the care of God, trust in him, and then he'll direct their hearts to tell us what to do in the service of the Lord. So this service that was needed here, remember, was a very specific service at that time. However, as time goes by, there's more needs going to come. And they had went to the disciples to tell them about it. And the disciples said, "Now listen here, we are to give ourselves for prayer and study and preaching and propagating and spreading the word of God." And it's very important, because, you know, it's not that preachers don't have time to do all that's required of them to do. There's 24 hours a day for all of us. But what I find out, my own self, is that you get your mind on the things of God. For instance, God gives me messages, and I study and I pray and I seek his face because people need what God has given me. Not that I'm important, but he's important. And so my study and my thoughts are supposed to be about the message God has given me so I can deliver it. And a lot of things can distract. A lot of things can take off. It can be good things. I mean, you come to the house of God and there's many needs. And some way I just, you know, wish I could just kind of sneak in and just sneak up to the pulpit. It's not that I don't love you guys, but I'm telling you, it's awful easy to get my mind. You probably would be like that too if you'd admit it. Most of us are. If it's the things of God on your heart, seems like everything is trying to tear your mind away from that. It's not that you don't have time for it. It's the fact that your mind is centered on a particular thing. And I don't know anything else better to have it meditate on except the message or the Word of God. And little things can get your mind off of that, and the result would be you aren't in tune with God. Jesus himself said that you can't serve God and mammon, that you'll have your mind and your heart set your affections on things above, not on the world. And if we have to try to split that and ride the rail and have our mind on the world and the mind on Jesus, it's not going to be in either place very good. It sure won't be on the Lord. So it's very important, and God illustrated and said to these disciples, you just can't do it all. If you get your mind on their troubles and trying to solve them, which you could, it will take your mind and your affection off the things of God, which is far more important. So we got the solution for you. Tell them to pick them out servants. We see the need for a servant. We saw the service they're going to do. It's very, very clear. Every church has different. Look in verse 3. The service they're to do, we may appoint over this business. Not running the church, not determining anything about that. It's the business of taking care of the needs of the people so they won't be murmuring, so everybody will be taken care of equally. And I've always said in church, and you've seen problems in churches and me too, if a church can be consistent and treat everybody just alike, if that were possible, and you try your very best, it will just eliminate so many problems. And that's what they were trying to do. The disciples says, hey, if we do it, which we could, and God would help us, but it would alter. It would get our minds and hearts off of what we need to have our minds and hearts on. And there's other people that can do the same thing and let us do the preaching, the studying, the proclaiming the Word of God. But now this is a specific need. This servant thing and the service of the people has to have some spiritual qualifications. Can't just be anybody. It has to be as God spelled it out. Threefold. Look carefully. First of all, honest report. Now, these people we're going to call deacons because servant is a deacon. And they have to be honest because they're going to say, okay, you do need to do this, you need to do this, and you've got needs, and this is how they have to be honest. Not just, it didn't start today. They have to look in their background and find out that they have to be honest about other dealings in their life. It would be hard just to pluck up and say, oh, today I'm going to start being honest. That's possible. But not many people put their confidence in you if you didn't have an honest report of dealing with people and situations in previous times honest. So that's a requirement, and you can't get around it. You can't have a substitute for it. Number two, they have to be full of the Holy Ghost. Boy, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be honest. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to have him on your mind, and you want his way more than you will people's way. And that's mighty important because most of us people want our way. And for sure, our way isn't God's way. And the people have to be honest report. They're going to do right. They're going to do what God knows. And the only way they're going to have an ear for God is to be full of the Holy Ghost, subject to hear from heaven and let him direct their hearts. And then wisdom. Not earthly wisdom. James told us to have wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. But that, let him ask in faith without wavering, for he that wavers is like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man ask anything of God. So wisdom is not necessarily going to college or university. You're just going to get man's wisdom that way, and that won't get you anywhere with God. It has to be wisdom to know that we belong to God. He's in control of the situation. He gives us certain jobs to do. We have to do it with all our heart. We have to be full of the Holy Ghost. We have to be honest in our dealings and let that wisdom come from God. No other wisdom from God. Boy, he's got all wisdom, and he wants to impart it to us. We've seen the servants. We've seen the service. We've seen the spiritual requirements. Let's look fourthly at the selection process. I'm proud God spelled that out too. Do you notice he didn't give the preachers the charge of going through and saying, okay, I'm going to pick you? You know why? Threefold. First of all, it would have got the preachers' minds and hearts off of preaching the Word of God, because you have to go through too many processes of, you know, who's qualified and all that. So he said, no, I'll let the people choose. And the people will make choices. And they know people better than you do. And the second reason is because people would look at the pastor, as they often do, and say, he's playing favorite. It would cause them not to trust the preacher. Because if I pick Brother Gary, somebody said, the only reason I picked Brother Gary is because he's your buddy. And so God just eliminated that element out of it. And so the preachers, if you go by God's word, and we are going by his word, and you'll be a lot better off to do that. It just keeps you out of a lot of trouble. And thirdly, it is God wants to involve other people. He just doesn't want to involve the preacher and let him make all the decisions. He never expected the preacher to be a dictator, not being lord over God's heritage. A lot of preachers are dictators, but that's not God's way. God wants to involve the people. People listen to God too. People follow God too. And the more we can involve and God can involve all of us, the better off all of us are. We're all on the same team, don't you see? So that's God's threefold reasons, and there may be more, but the selection process is choose ye. And the people get to make the choice. And when they make the choice, God's going to bless it. Fifthly, look what happens at the sound doctrine that comes out of it. They chose these people, and God gives us a record of some of the things that was accomplished. Starts with Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Now, Stephen goes in verse 8, and we have an account of it. Well, look at verse 7, however. And the word of God increased. Why did it increase? Because they followed God. You'll never increase, and God will not increase us. We may increase ourselves, and that won't be worth anything. But if we want God to increase us, we have to follow him. And his word increased. And the number of disciples multiplied. Isn't that interesting? God says, follow me, I'll build a church. Unless the Lord build a church, they labor in vain that build it. And so we let the Lord build a church by following his word, and then he multiplies. He adds to his church greatly, not just a little bit, but greatly. God's in the increasing. I wonder if we'd just take a survey of our own lives. I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about spiritually. Hopefully we've grown in the faith in years gone by. I remember myself as a 12-year-old boy, you know, been in church all my life, but didn't know enough to get in out of the rain. But then when the Holy Ghost, in fact, I'll tell you a little bit story about that too. I had narcolepsy and just go to sleep instantly. And I remember I told you I didn't have enough sense to get out of the rain. Well, I prove it. I had a dog, pretty good-sized dog, and one day I was out setting out tomatoes, And the rainstorm came. Well, it didn't look like it was going to be that big a rainstorm. So rather than go to the barn or to a shed or to the house, I'll just sit under an oak tree and endure the rain, and it will shield me. I woke up probably an hour later. I just went to sleep and slept through the rain. I guess you could say I didn't have enough sense to get out of the rain. And my dog was right there by me, trusty old soul he was. But I had an excuse. I have narcolepsy, which I just go to sleep suddenly. And I went to sleep suddenly and just stayed asleep. So I don't know anything, and I don't have a capability of doing anything, but don't really need to, because God is in the directing business, and it's all about him anyway. So Stephen now, he goes out, and he's full of the Holy Ghost. He starts preaching and proclaiming. Look what happens. Verse 8 says, did great wonders and miracles among the people. That ought to make everybody happy. Here's a man that God has chosen. He has put in the hearts of people to choose. They've had their hands, the disciples laid hands on him, and God has empowered him. He's preaching, he's teaching, and God's multiplied. Everybody's happy. No, they aren't. They're going to do him great harm. Why? Because most people, most places, still that selfish, that greed. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, that religious crowd, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrias, and all of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. A man is full of faith and the Holy Ghost, teaching the word of God, empowered with great anointing, and religious crowd didn't like it. But it didn't hinder Stephen one little bit. It did later on, but not right now. And verse 10 says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Because God was giving the utterance. God was giving the words. They could resist Stephen, but they couldn't resist his words. Because his words were from God, of God. So it's just a lesson for us tonight. And we have an organization service, and you have chosen, rightly so, a man. I believe he's a man of faith, of wisdom, and full of the Holy Ghost. And we believe Sister D is a good servant's wife, too, a good spouse. We believe that God has used you and put in your hearts to choose him. Several others were chosen this year, too, but they'd already been ordained. And that's the next thing. He's already been ordained in a different church. Our policy and our bylaws say that you're ordained at the church you're chosen at. And you could get scripture for that pretty good, because what happens, this is a specific call for that church. They called him. This church body called him. So they want to lay hands on him to pray for him. And they want to let him help all of us and assist us in the ministry that God has called him and us to do. So it's a very wonderful thing, and it's a very special need. But now the religious crowd didn't like it, and verse 10 says they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and called him and brought him into the council. So false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against his holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. The last thing we see is you're not going to always be received and accepted. We see a man, God illustrates him. All of them were good men. We see a lot about Philip in the Word of God. But God chose him to give us an example. And don't expect to be treated with royalty when God chooses you or uses people to choose you. It just won't happen because people don't want to serve God. And it didn't hinder Stephen from proclaiming. In fact, there was sitting before the council, he preached one of the most wonderful messages. I don't have a lot to do with commentaries. You may, and that's okay. And some of them are okay. But you got to separate them. You got to part them. You have to say, well, is this right or wrong? When I got the book, I don't have to do any separating. It's just all pure. And I, in my younger ministry days, I was reading about Stephen one time, and I don't remember the commentary. I should have thrown it in the French Broad River. It had been polluting, I guess, and I didn't. But they said, we just don't understand why Stephen, you know, he could have saved his life, perhaps, if he hadn't been so rough on him, if he hadn't looked right in their face and told them how they'd kill the prophets. He just brought it on himself. I said, that's crazy. He said exactly what God told him to say. And men's always trying to subdue and say, oh, you shouldn't say this. It's always right to say what God says. Men won't receive it. Men may not recognize it. But verse 15 tells us all we need to know about him. As they sat there in the council, looking steadfastly on him, they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Why? Because God anointed him. God used him. You say, well, God let him be stoned. He sure did. And what God allows, that's okay. But the gospel is like that. When you preach your gospel, you're going to be rejected and despised. Jesus was, and we sure aren't anything like him. As he is in this world, so are we, the scripture says. Let us have the mind of Christ. We are rejected by society. If society look on our website tonight and hear this message or any other message just preached here, they'd probably poke fun, mock, scoff, all that stuff. Never has hindered me yet. Because God says, just preach your word, be in season, out of season. Don't bring results. No one ever has. You just stand on the word of God. And when we do that, the scripture says, having done all, stand. Make up your mind ahead of time. You'll never be well received by everybody. But don't let it hinder you. All men will not speak well against you. Someone came to me in my early ministry and told me some alarming bad news. They said, you know, Roy, I've never heard anything bad on you. And you say, well, that's something good to hear. Scared me to death. That must mean I'm not doing anything for God. Because if I were, the devil would be spreading all kinds of rumors and lies. Not that I want them, but it's a fact. If everybody in the world speaks well of you, it must be because we're not doing anything. Because if you're used of God, then the devil don't like it and he'll raise a crowd against you. Then you know you're serving God. Sometimes he permits that too. Whatever he allows is okay. So we're going by the book. And you have chosen Brother Bob. And we appreciate you for doing that. So we're going to ask him tonight to come and bow right here, if you will, my brother. And the deacons are going to come. All the deacons. And we're going to lay hands upon him. We're not going to form a line and pray long prayers. We're all going to stand around him and pray at the same time. And ask God's blessing. Lay hands upon him and pray for him. Just like the scripture says, nothing powerful about these hands. It's just following instructions that we are showing God that our hands that you ordain are going to pray for him and support him as you have chosen him. And the whole church is going to pray. Would you please come pray something softly on the piano organ as we pray? Okay, everyone get as close as you can and just bow around him and go by and lay hands upon him anytime. Lord Jesus, we bow before you and we thank you, Father, for Brother Bob that you have used and come to this church and the people that have chosen him. And Father, we believe that your hands upon him. Therefore, we put our hands upon him. Our hands aren't holy hands. But Father, we just lay our hands on him, agreeing with the word and saying, Father, bless him. Use him, anoint him. And Lord, if people speak well of him, we'll praise your name. And if they don't, we'll just understand that a lot of people don't want the things of God anyway. Don't let anything distract and deter and tear down what you're doing in this place. We love you, Father. Let our hearts be as one. Let us, Father, look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, trusting you, following your leadership. And God, we know that the increasing and the multiplication comes from you, and we're trusting you to do that. Help us be humble, submitted, committed to your word in these last days, these evil days. You trusted us in this generation, and we know it's going to get worse. But Father, we have a great God that still empowers, still uses, and still promotes. And we're going to lift up that name. It's the sweetest name under heaven, given where man could be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, in thee we put our trust. In thee we put our love and cast all our care upon you, knowing you care for us. Now knowing him and use him in Jesus' name, amen. Yes, please do.
I'd just like to say to the church that it's a great honor to be selected, and I appreciate the confidence that you all placed in D and me. And before I would ever betray that confidence, I'd pray that God would just move me on off the scene. I'm here. I want to do his will. And you don't know how blessed you are to have a man like this that stands and takes the word and preaches what the word says. Not what somebody else out there has to say about it, but what the Holy Spirit tells him through his study of the Word. And brother, I'm here to help you in any way I can.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. We're going to ask Sister Dee and him to stand right here before us, and everyone's going to stand. And if you will, come around and shake their hands, tell them you're going to be praying for them. We've got a rule around here that, you know, the first year you have to be really easy on the deacons, no conflicts. I mean, after that, you know, we get a little looser. But the first year, you know, just be really, really good to them, sweet to them, okay? Everyone come by, and we thank you for coming. And someone play on the piano, if you would, please.